above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began, above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. Above all, above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived and died, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me. Above all, crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me.
Thank you, Jeannie. Would you stand with me, if you would, please, as we read from the scripture together this morning? Once again, it's good to have everybody in our service. We are glad that you are here today, the last Sunday of 2017. Can you believe it? Just seemed like it was yesterday that we ushered in a brand new year, and here we are looking at 2018 right around the corner. Unbelievable. The time passes so very quickly. Turn in your scripture, if you would please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2, and verse number 20. We'll just read one verse together, and then we will have a word of prayer. Luke, chapter number 2, and verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, as it was told unto them. Pray with me, if you would. Heavenly Father, as we consider the thought this morning, the next day. What next? Lord, once again, the Christmas season is upon us. It's about to drift away. Lord, we're reminded of the fact that your Son came to this earth to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life, dear God, to become a sacrifice for all of us so that we might have eternal life. And Lord, as we are reminded today, as we close out this year of 2017, dear God, that the job is not done. And the reason I know it's not done is because we're still here. Lord, there's still work to do. And so, Lord, what's next? What will the next day bring? And so, Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you would challenge us afresh and anew. If there's anybody within the sound of my voice today who does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today, dear God, would be the day that by faith they would invite Jesus into their heart. And Lord, for the rest of us who know your Son, that we might be challenged afresh and anew to live for you, we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much. Be seated, if you would, please. One of the things that's good about the Christmas season is how many people's attentions are focused on Christ at this time of the year. People come from far and wide to celebrate Christmas. There's lots of traveling going on this time of the year, and people who have never attend church the rest of the year make it to services during the Christmas season. Maybe that first Christmas was something like what we see today. They had the angels praising, so the air was filled with Christmas praise. They had the shepherds visiting, kind of like local friends dropping by. And then, eventually, they had the wise men coming in from out of town. Though they did not make it for the first Christmas, they got there eventually. And it's like a lot of people today, running to and fro. Christmas is a busy, busy time of the year. Lots of traveling, lots of things happening. Luke 2:20 records for us that the day after the shepherds had visited the baby, the shepherds returned. In fact, if you think about it, for the most part, everybody just got back to life as usual or normal after that first Christmas night. The shepherd returns to their flock. The angels silence their praising. The wise men made the long trip back home. And it seems like everybody forgot about that holy night, so much that we don't even know for sure that December 25th is the birth of Jesus. The shepherds returned, as did everyone else, all except for Mary and Joseph. When Christmas is over this year, will you simply return to life as normal? Perhaps praising God for the chance to celebrate Christmas, but really no different than you were before. Or will you, like Mary and Joseph, have your lives radically changed by Christmas? All of us who have ever had children know what that does to the dynamics of the home. You're never the same. Children change everything. A couple can never be the same after they've had a child born into their family. When a baby is born, many people will come to see the little child in the hospital. Maybe they'll bring a card or a gift or give a kiss or maybe a cuddle. The reality is they go home and the parents are stuck. It's a long, long commitment. Only the parents come away being totally changed, radically changed by the birth of a child. When we consider our visit with Christ this Christmas, will you go away like many do who stop by for a few minutes and see the baby and then go on your way living life as normal? Or will you be like those parents that we talked about who will never leave again because of the birth of a child? I want to give you some thoughts this morning as we think about this idea of Christmas. What about the next day? What will that bring? It's easy to praise the Lord when, you know, when there's angels singing. It's easy to praise the Lord when a Gabriel appears to you and tells you about the birth of a Savior, tells you where to find the baby, and off you go, and sure enough, there he is. But what about the next day? What about when the trials of life come and things get difficult? The reality this morning is salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you something. You better understand that, and you better learn that, because that's reality. Salvation is free, but living for Christ will cost you something. Well, it cost Mary and Joseph something. First of all, Mary and Joseph never did return from seeing Jesus. Think about that this morning. Everybody else went home. The shepherds were gone. The angels were gone. The wise men left. And they are left to deal with life. Well, that's how it is. That first Christmas night, when they first saw Jesus, for them, it was only the beginning. It was only the start. And the reality is, for those of you who have been there and you've had a little one who's come into your life, and especially if it's the first one, you go home and you look at each other and you say, "What have we done?" They don't come trained. They don't come obedient. Life has suddenly taken a drastic change. And so it is for Mary and for Joseph. They don't get to leave. They don't get to go out of town. They don't get to, you know, they're just stuck with the reality of life. And even though this is a special child, and I think it's a special challenge for them, how would you like to be charged with raising the Son of God? Do you discipline? What do you do? How do you do it? Well, I think it comes about as a result of a lot of prayer. And I think anybody who's ever had children in this room knows that you don't get through it without prayer. You've got to have help from the Lord. From then on, every night for the rest of their lives, they were with Jesus Christ. They didn't get to go on vacation. They didn't get to leave. They had a job to do. They did have to leave Bethlehem, however, because they took Christ with them. Go, if you would, please, with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Hold your place in the Gospel of Luke. We'll be back. But go to the Gospel of Matthew real quickly, if you would, please. And I want to begin to read in verse number 13. You're familiar with the story. In the 13th verse, you know that the wise men had come to King Herod. They wanted to know where the Christ child was born. King Herod didn't have a clue. He had to call in his counselors. He had to call in the magi who would give him the instructions of where the Christ child was to be born. They informed him that it was in Bethlehem. Well, that's not a great distance from Jerusalem. It's only about 5.5 miles south of Jerusalem, so it's not a great distance. And so the Herod says, well, when you've gone and you've sought out the Christ child, come back and let me know so that I can go and worship him also. Now, was that his intent? No, it was not. His intent was to kill Jesus because he saw him as a threat, because people were calling this new baby the King of Israel. So he couldn't have that. Now notice in verse number 13 of chapter 2 of the Gospel of Matthew. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." So the angel of the Lord appears in a dream to Joseph after the three wise men leave to return back to their homeland, and informs them informs him of what is about to happen and tells him to flee to Egypt. When he arose, he took the young child, verse number 14, and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called thee. The prophets had predicted years before the event ever happened that this Christ child would have to be taken to Egypt, would have to be taken out of Israel, the out of his birthplace, for his own protection. And he goes on to say that he was there until the death of Herod. Then Herod, verse number 16, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and he sent forth and he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Have you ever noticed that in Scripture? The Scripture identifies for us when the wise men came. It wasn't at the birth of Jesus, like it is shown in the historical record or the traditional record, where you see them at the manger scene. No, not at all. They came later. In fact, when they left and Herod sent out this decree. Now, it didn't take him 2 years to figure out they weren't coming back. It's only 5.5 miles. It doesn't take 2 years. But he has the children slain that are 2 years and under. Why? Because it's been 2 years since the birth of Jesus. That's why he does this. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, or Jeremiah. In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Let me stop there for just a moment. Remember I mentioned to you that getting saved doesn't cost you anything. Jesus paid the price for your salvation. But living for Jesus might just cost you, and it will cost you. And for these individuals who were thrilled that this Savior has come, 2 years have gone by, and now they have paid a price because of this Christ child. I wonder if they're praising God now. You see, there will come times in your life, there will be testing, there will be trial, and if your faith has not been tested, I would check and make sure I'm saved. Because I guarantee you, if you try to live for Jesus, test will come in your life. It might take the loss of a child in your service to the kingdom of Almighty God. Let me ask you a question. Are you still ready to praise him? Are you still glad that he came? Or is it too great of a cost? And will you just simply stop praising him? Lay the praise aside. Live the rest of your life in fear. Live the rest of your life as though God doesn't love you and God doesn't care about you. Now it says in verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, and to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he rose, and he took the young child and his mother, and he came into the land of Israel. But he went, when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He had turned aside unto the parts of Galilee. And he came, and he dwelt in the city of Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Once again, we have a fulfillment of a scripture. You see, Mary and Joseph didn't get to just stop the day after Christmas. They had to live their lives in faith and obedience to God the Father. Even though it meant exile, even though it meant going off to a foreign land where they had never been before, living in exile until God worked out the details that they could come back, and still they don't return to Bethlehem. Instead, they go to Joseph's hometown, the home of Nazareth. Why? because they are fulfilling Scripture. They are doing just exactly what God is telling them to do, because the Bible said he will be referred to as a Nazarene. So at this point, Jesus could be 4, maybe 5 years of age. Imagine, grandparent, not getting to meet your grandson for 4 or 5 years. And remember when they left Nazareth, it wasn't such a good party. There were people who wanted to stone them to death because they thought this was an illegitimate child. There are people back in Nazareth who still aren't going to get over the fact that they think that Jesus is an illegitimate child. You remember when it was that when Jesus came to the city of Nazareth when he began his ministry, and he went to the synagogue and he began to teach the people, and he began to tell them about the Messiah, and then he told them, "I am he." You remember how they responded? They responded and says, "Wait a minute, isn't that Jesus, the guy who lived just down the street? Isn't that, and they didn't say it, that illegitimate son?" You see, sometimes there's a price to pay whenever we live for the Lord. But yet we see that Mary and Joseph are willing to endure the criticism. They are unwilling to do these things because they love him, and they will not knowingly leave his side. Now, that being said, there was a time when he was 12 years of age. Remember, the family went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. They made the sacrifice, and they're on their way home, and they get a day's journey. And they obviously traveled in a large entourage of people. And they did not know, they were not aware that Jesus was not in their midst. And all of a sudden, they're looking around and saying, "Where's Jesus? Oh, I think he's with cousin so-and-so. He's with Johnny the Baptist." Well, they checked, and he wasn't there. Where is Jesus? How would you like to lose the Son of God? How would you like to have that in your record? So off they go. They go back to Jerusalem, a day's journey. And then they spend another day looking for him. And finally they come to the temple, and there is Jesus. And he is teaching the rulers in the synagogue. And they are totally confounded by the wisdom of this 12-year-old kid. And Mary, I'm sure she wants to grab him by the ear and say, "Young man, what are you doing? Why have you done this to us?" And Jesus rebukes his own mother, and he looks at her and he says, "Know ye not, I must be about my Father's business." At the age of 12, Jesus knows what he's supposed to do. He knows where it's going to end. He knows what is going to happen, and they are with him every step of the way. How wonderful that is. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever moved away from home? Have you ever lived in an unfamiliar area? I have. I've lived in Nevada. I've lived here. I've lived in Missouri. I spent 3 years in the military. 31 months of those I was in Germany. And even though I was a Christian, I used that as an excuse not to go to church. When I was in basic training out in Fort Ord, California, I went to a service there on the post, and it just wasn't for me. It wasn't my kind of preaching. It was very vague. It was very, you know, noncommittal. I mean, they're just, you know, there was no challenge there. So I used that as an excuse not to go to church. And so for 31 months that I was in Germany, I didn't go to church. Well, do you know who I hurt? I hurt myself. But you see, sometimes when we get in unfamiliar surroundings, when we're not around family, when we're not around somebody who says, "You're coming to church, right?" We need to understand that we need to be saying that to our loved ones. You need church. You need to come and visit the services. So for 31 months of my life, I wasn't in church. Now, I did the one thing that I had a brain, so I used it. And I sent my tithe home every month to this church because this is where my membership was. And along with that, I would send a missions offering. And for 31 months that I was gone, I did that because I'm not a fool. And I know that God will bless those who tithe. God says that in His Word. He says it and He means it. And so I knew that I wanted to be blessed by God, and I was, even though I was not attending church. Now, I think I probably wasn't blessed to the extent that I could have been, but I was still blessed. I made rank easily and quickly and had a good position in the job that I worked in. And so I believe that God will honor that. So here's the challenge. If God moves you beyond circumstances that you cannot control, maybe moves you off to another city, find a church, a gospel preaching church as soon as you can, and I hope it's a Baptist church. See, that was the problem in military. It wasn't a Baptist church. So I use that as an excuse not to go to church. But my friend, as soon as you can, join another church of like faith. Get involved and serve the Lord, because He will bless that. He will honor that. And sometimes all of us get sidetracked. But please, please, please stay engaged in the ministry. Don't be like the shepherds who went back to business as usual. Don't be like the wise men who just went home, went back to their lives. For Mary and Joseph, Christmas was more than a once-a-year celebration. It was a day-by-day reality. And the truth of the matter is that that is what Christianity is all about. It's not just coming to know Jesus and, glory to God, I'm going to heaven. I'll see you then. Adios. Not at all. Living for Jesus means service. Living for Jesus means being in God's house. Living for Jesus means serving the Lord in some capacity to His honor and glory. And Joseph and Mary took that seriously. Number two, Mary and Joseph nurtured their relationship with Jesus Christ. What do you mean by that? Let's think about the family again. Is not raising family a growing experience? It is it not? When you came home from the hospital, did you come home with a book on how to raise children? Not this kid. You just figured it out. You just got with the program. Late nights, early mornings, sleepless nights, all those things. You just endured. You went through it. And that helped you to learn to love that child. Anyone who has ever raised children knows the truthfulness of this. You grow up almost as much as they do. Have you ever noticed that? You grow up almost as much as they do, because now all of a sudden you are responsible for somebody other than just yourself. You are now responsible for this little child, to nurture that child, to help that child to develop. And so, you know, and the reality is, even when you bring that child home, you don't know them. They don't know you. It takes time. It takes a while. It takes practice. And I think most moms and dads that first year probably feel like they are a failure. You say, what if I make a mistake? Oh, no, it's not a question of whether you're going to make a mistake. It's a question of how many mistakes you're going to make, because you will make mistakes because you've never done this before. So what are you going to do? You have to know this kid who's growing up in your home, and the truth is you may never fully know them. And you'd have to be a parent for a while to understand that. As they grow up, they change. Your relationship changes. The way that you deal with one another changes. When they get to be teenagers, you wish you drowned them. And if you're not there yet, you will be. Grandma and Grandpa, you know what we're talking about. You have to learn how to be a parent. And to do that, the job doesn't stop the day they're born. The job has just begun. It's just starting. You have to learn how to be a parent. So hopefully you're always improving in that area too. While the shepherds returned to their flocks, Mary and Joseph stayed right where they were, responsible for the rest of their lives to nurture and to develop their relationship with Jesus Christ, even at moments like in Jerusalem when they didn't get it. When they didn't get it. Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? I'm here on a mission. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to save the souls of men. So here they are. They hardly know this child. They want to get to know him. They don't know anything about pleasing the Lord. Down through life, sometimes we think we've got it figured out. But you know what I've learned after 50 years? I've learned that I don't have it figured out. Now, I know the teenagers in this room, you've got it all figured out. Keep on thinking that. Keep on thinking that. Mary and Joseph stuck with the stuff. They stayed faithful to the Lord. We never attain a place in life where we know it all or that our relationship with Jesus Christ is perfect. There are many Christians today that I have to say they aren't growing anymore in Jesus Christ, and that's sad. You see, that's the job. The job is to grow. The job is to learn. The job is to draw closer to Him. Growing in Christ. Maturing in Christ. Oh, sure, they know a certain amount about Jesus. They know they're a sinner. And they know that Jesus will save sinners. Beth, Aaron, that's enough. That's enough. We need to learn. We need to grow. And the only way we're going to grow is by continuing to put ourselves out there, interested in knowing more. You see, when I came to church this morning, my goal should have been to learn more about Jesus Christ, because none of us has all the answers, and it is a church service by church service experience. We must grow in the Lord. The shepherds returned to their normal lives, but Mary and Joseph, it was only the beginning of a radical change in their life. They never left Jesus. They nurtured their relationship with Christ. And then the third thing, Mary and Joseph kept all that was said and all that Jesus said in their hearts. Go to Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 19, if you would please. Verse number 19. But when Herod was dead, I'm in the wrong book. Let's go back to the Gospel of Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 19. Let's back up a few verses. Verse number 18. And when they had heard it, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Here she is listening to all the things that are being said about Jesus. All these wonderful things that are being said by the shepherds and by those who have come to visit the baby, the Christ child. And she doesn't just dismiss it. She holds it in her heart. She ponders. She thinks upon these things. She takes it to heart. She dwelt upon them. And then, when Jesus is in Jerusalem at the age of 12, she not only thinks about the things that people have said about her son, but she also thinks about the things that he says. Look, if you would please, with me in verse number 51 of the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. "And when he went down with them, he came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in his heart." Let me ask you a question this morning, child of God. Do you keep the sayings of Jesus Christ in your heart? Do you ponder those things? You remember what Jesus said to his disciples when he was here? He says, "I don't want you to just be a hearer of the word. I also want you to be a doer of the word." Why do you listen to the things that I say and yet you don't do them? See, Jesus is very interested in that. So it doesn't just end on Christmas morning. It doesn't just end with the Christmas service. Now it's time to listen, to respond, to exercise your faith and do the things that Jesus has said in his life. And when Jesus says, "Take up your cross and follow me," that's exactly what he means. You see, Jesus didn't just save you to keep you out of hell. And if that was all there was to it, that'd be wonderful. But the reality is, if that's what all it was about, he'd take you home the moment that you accepted him into your heart and into your life. How many of you want to go to heaven now, knowing that it's all going to be over? No. Jesus says, "I want you to live for me. I want you to serve me. I want you to reach other people for Jesus Christ." So when Jesus says, "Go into all the world and to teach the gospel," when he tells us to win people to him and to baptize them and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, that is exactly what he means. So for Mary and Joseph, it wasn't just hearing what he had to say and just go our merry way. No, day after day after day, they nurtured their relationship and they heard the accolades. They heard what Jesus said. And they endeavor to live for him. Mary's at the cross. She's at the foot of the cross. She's watched the scourging of Jesus. She's seen all the mockery, all the false trials. She's watched it all. She's standing there and Jesus is dying on the cross. You see, this is 33 and a half years later. And she's still pondering these things in her heart. She's still grappling with it. She's still trying to understand the enormity of the whole situation. And she's there. She's a widow at this point. And Jesus, in his concern for his mother, looks at John and says, "John, behold thy mother. Take care of Mary." Listen to me. Salvation is more than coming to an altar and inviting Jesus into your heart. That's the first step. But then he wants you to live for him. He wants you to serve him. So there's no such thing as, "Oh, I'll go to the Christmas service and maybe I'll be there on Easter." That is not faithfulness, my friend. We live for Christ day by day, day by day, Sunday by Sunday, day after day after day after day after day. Mary and Joseph didn't just get to go home. They were all in. Let me ask you a question this morning. What kind of a Christian are you? Are you the kind of Christian that says, "Thank you very much, Jesus. Glad you saved my soul. I'll see you in heaven"? I hope not. I hope you're the kind of Christian that says, "Lord, I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to be part of your work. I want to invest my life in you, no matter what may come. And if it means it costs me my life, I am willing to do that for the cause of Christ. Just like those babies who were slain. You see, sometimes serving the Lord can be difficult. But it will be so worthwhile when we stand in His presence. Would you stand with me, please, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, nobody looking around? As we consider for a moment what kind of a Christian we are, maybe it's time for some to come to the altar today and just say, Lord, as I close out this year, I want to make a brand new commitment to serve you, to live for you, to do the things that would be honoring and glorifying to you, Father. Lord, help us today. I pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit would speak to hearts and lives today of Christians. Lord, that have gotten out of the battle, who have gotten out of service, or maybe you are so close to doing that very thing. Help them today, Lord, to stay in there. Stay in the fight like Mary and Joseph did to the very end. Lord, to be faithful, to be loving, to be caring, to do the things that you've called them to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake.